in football and men's basketball. In the NBA, free agent forward Matisse Thybulle has agreed to a one-year deal with the Lakers worth $3.3 million. He is entering his eighth NBA season and is a two-time All-Defensive Team member. In the WNBA, Dallas Wings star Paige Bueckers was ruled out of today's game against the New York Liberty, but the team said that she does not have a concussion after a scary collision during Sunday's game against the LA Sparks. And in golf, a Canadian-based technology company that supplied LIV Golf's Any Shot, Any Time features during its broadcast has sued the league for more than $1 million for outstanding unpaid invoices and lost revenue.
Fox Sports Update on the Right Choice, KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, higher food prices continue to change the way Americans shop, according to a new report from Cobank's Knowledge Exchange. The report says food prices are up 2.7% from a year ago, but about 26% from 5 years ago, prompting consumers to switch to discount retailers or buying fewer groceries. Cobank notes inflation, elevated energy prices, and higher interest rates continue to pressure the overall economy. Well, regenerative agriculture continues to gain momentum across the country, with USDA reporting that nearly 40 million acres were managed using USDA-supported regenerative practices in fiscal year 2023. That's over 360% more than a decade earlier. USDA says the most widely adopted practices include grazing, nutrient and pest management, conservation systems, and cover crops. Overall, farmers, ranchers, and conservationists received assistance for conservation practices on nearly 70 million acres. Well, dairy farmers took their message to Capitol Hill last week, urging lawmakers to advance ag labor reform and other key dairy priorities. More than three dozen advocates participated in the National Milk Producer Federation's State Dairy Association Summit. A top priority was the Securing Agriculture's Workforce Act, introduced by House Ag Chair G.T. Thompson, that would expand H-2A access for year-round industries by removing the seasonal requirement.
Livestock producers, Western Video Market just wrapped up its Silver Legacy sale in Reno, Nevada, and what a sale it was. Tremendous buyer demand and record prices for both cattle and sheep. Their next big summer video sale is August 10th and 11th from Little America in Cheyenne, Wyoming. However, the consignment deadline is this Thursday, July 23rd. So let the professionals at Western Video Market go to work for you and bring top dollar for your livestock. Contact your local Western Video Market rep or visit WVMcattle.com.
The best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they're, well, farming. It's easy to find them during the day, as most farmers are behind the wheel of their pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station for the Ag Information Network of the West News. So reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what's important to their farm operation. Give us a call and we'll connect you with our local farming community. They trust us, so they'll trust you.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are mixed in afternoon trading, with chip stocks regaining ground after a recent sell-off in the sector. Some of today's biggest winners so far are stocks that fell by double digits last week, including Micron Technology, SanDisk, and Seagate Technology. The merger between Paramount, Skydance, and Warner Brothers has been temporarily delayed. A California federal judge granting a temporary restraining order prohibiting the companies from closing the deal for 2 weeks, while the court considers whether the merger should remain blocked. Last last Monday, California and 11 states sued and argued that the deal would create a media monopoly and harm competition. Shares of Alibaba are up nearly 5% after the Chinese internet giant previewed its new AI model, which it said is second only to Anthropic's Fable 5. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Varsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Everyone knows that capitalism is responsible for scarring the earth, polluting the air and water, and squandering nature's bounty. Or is it? I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
Virtually every one of us is an environmentalist at heart. Therefore, we're all preconditioned to accept the idea that men in search of profit have torn up the hills, scraped the earth bare, destroyed the forest, and dumped their waste in the nation's streams and lakes. The motive, of course, pure greed. Certainly there's evidence that in the past, when our country seemed limitless in its expanse and capable of bearing the wounds inflicted by puny humans, there was too little regard for nature. And it was government that first sounded the alarm. President Teddy Roosevelt, an outdoorsman himself, led the charge. Of course, there were also far-sighted individuals who'd been crying out against such things as hydraulic mining for gold, a method that ripped into hillsides and choked rivers and streams with gravel. They raised a cry against the early lumber barons who cut down the trees and moved on with no thought of planting. But today, so much progress has been made. The lumber industry is virtually on a sustained yield basis, planting as many trees as are harvested. Strip miners replace the topsoil, and stringent controls limit air and water pollution by industry. Now it seems that we, the people, are the despoilers through our own government agencies. The biggest polluter of San Francisco Bay is the city sewer system. In New York City, it is the dumping of garbage in the Atlantic Ocean that threatens the coast with a tidal wave of toxic sludge. And for a time, the nearest stream or body of water was automatically the city sewer system. But we are doing something about it. The present-day doom criers notwithstanding, we can all feel pretty good about what has been accomplished here in the United States at both the private and government level. In fact, we may be troubled now and then by protective overkill. For example, only a few years ago, the governor of a state fronting on one of the Great Lakes announced he was going to halt any industrial thermal pollution that changed the lake's temperature by more than 1 degree. By that, he meant no plant could turn clean but hot water into the lake. This would have meant millions of dollars in cooling towers and equipment. Yet that particular lake undergoes a temperature change of about 40 degrees every year between winter and summer. But to make us a little proud and optimistic, hear the story of a Soviet trawler captain who defected 3 years ago and sailed his ship into a Swedish port. He has described the fishing operation of those Russian trawlers that seem to be off every coast in every ocean. They use such fine mesh nets, he says, that they catch half-grown fish of every kind, the result being that much of the catch rots on board. If the refrigerator vessels can't take what they have, the surplus is thrown overboard, polluting the spawning grounds with rotten fish. If they sail into port with their catch and the port facilities can't handle their haul, it is dumped on shore to decay and taken inland later to be burned. The refugee captain estimated no more than one-third of the catch ever reaches the consumer as food. That ties in with other information about Soviet agriculture. Their need for food imports is not alone the result of drought, crop failure, or just plain inefficiency in farming. Like the fish, much of their agricultural output rots in the field or spoils in storage. I just thought you'd like to know that. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
Work hard, work safe, wear the best. Red Wing shoes, built for comfort, built for durability, built to handle the toughest jobs. And on the Central Coast, there's only one place to get them. Tack and Shoes, your exclusive Red Wing dealer with the best selection, expert fitting, and boots that won't let you down. Got a Red Wing voucher? Bring it in. They accept them all. Tack and Shoes, on the corner of 8th and Spring in Paso Robles, or on Marsh Street across from Wells Fargo in San Luis Obispo. Work starts here.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sound Off on this Monday afternoon. Kevin Will in studio with our special guest this afternoon, Gene Miller. Many of you associate Gene with a lot of the education here in the North County, including Flamson and currently at Templeton at the middle school as the principal. But Gene, you're here for a very, very important project that a lot of the community is getting behind because they're hearing more about it. They may have seen something at War Memorial over the years, but now it's going to look better than ever. And so tell us about this World War II Bearcat Memorial.
Yeah, so War Memorial Stadium, a lot of people actually think War Memorial Stadium was named after the hospital that was right in that same area, but it is actually dedicated to the 12 Bearcats who lost their lives in World War II. And so back in 2009, Dave Lambert, who was one of the board members at that time, he and I were working on a project to try to increase the knowledge of those individuals because there was just a small plaque near the flagpole. So we started the project. It kind of moved slowly, but then Tom Harrington picked it up just a couple of years ago, presented it to the board. The board agreed to update the memorial to include all 12 names.
Okay, well, before that, were there some names on there, but not all 12 that we're going to have?
There actually weren't any names at War Memorial Stadium. It was simply a plaque that the Lions Club back in 1946 dedicated to the field and just dedicated to those who had sacrificed, those Bearcats who had sacrificed their life.
And this is, again, from World War II, but as you mentioned before we came on the air, there was, they all didn't graduate the same year or within a year or two. There was a little bit of disparity.
Correct. Back in World War II, the average age of those who were drafted was actually 21. And so you had a number of different individuals ranging anywhere from one who just graduated in June and ended up passing away in August. And then you had some that had been out of school for a couple of years.
What got your interest in the project?
I was a history major, actually. So that was a part of it. And then I had a great uncle, Norb, who was a great influence on me. And he was a World War II vet. And so just that kind of family history and history in general and just the history of Paso really got me interested.
The research, what started you and how did you go about the research and finding out about these young men who gave all for their country?
The first was the plaque that used to be down at the park and then is now at the Paso Robles Pioneer Museum. And that plaque has all the servicemen who were in the War Memorial Hospital Zone. So you had people from Shandon, Templeton, San Miguel who were on that plaque. So that got me interested. So I started looking from there and just got, because I wanted to know who the people were behind it. You know, do they still have relatives in this area? All those things that I found really interesting. So I just went through and started collecting names, put things up on Facebook, looking for information. Got some, not a lot at first, but as the internet's gotten kind of better, it's been a little bit easier to find a little bit more information.
Well, that was the, I guess... you wanted to make sure you can get information on all of them, not just 10 of them or something like that. So right. the outreach for that, you know, you mentioned the internet helping out and so forth, but I'm guessing there's probably a little bit of groundwork that took place here within the Paso Robles area, including, you know, because you have Ray Doth, obviously, and then, you know, some others as well, that this is personal.
Right. So we do have a number of families who are still here who still remember these. So during that initial outreach, I had one family member whose father remembered his uncle coming home from the Pacific War and basically saying goodbye to everybody because he knew he wasn't coming back. And so we still had people here who knew these people and remembered these people. And so that part is, you know, really interesting. So being able to talk to people about that, about their family, and that helps those memories live and those people live.
Right. And also it passes on, you know, when people, you know, attend events there at War Memorial, they can look at the names. And, you know, it's like sometimes we look at names, you just wonder. And I think in this particular case, these, for the most part, these were basically kids.
Right. And so... one of the things that is going to be part of the project is that we're going to have a QR code there. And so people can, instead of just seeing names, they'll be able to scan that and actually look up the information that we have on them. So if we have any pictures, any information of how they passed away, those types of things, they'll be able to go through and read those things. So it could create that instead of just a name on a plaque, it will, you'll see their senior picture, for example, and see this is a kid who graduated from Paso High.
And probably played on the field at one time.
And it was on the field or at least sitting in the stands watching somebody. So I think that's really important for somebody to know. It's more than just a name. These are real people. They had real lives. They left people behind and paid the ultimate price for our freedom.
And some of the stories that attached to these young men are... pretty amazing stories, and in particular on how they eventually lost their lives.
Right. Yeah. Number of them were aviators in the Army Air Corps. The Doth family, still around. Ray Doth is actually on our committee to work on this program. His uncle was bombing Japan, and his plane was knocked down and never found. And we have pictures of him in his plane and things like that. So they're real stories, and they're very interesting stories. Another one of our Bearcats was also bombing Japan. They got knocked down became a prisoner of war. And when the Japanese were trying to move them because the American forces were getting closer, he was one of 20 who was executed in a POW camp.
When you were doing research on this, were you able to get it from the hometown papers? You know, some of it, you know, the initial obit on the death end, this is two part. Were you able to do that? And was it a big story? Hey, one of our own has lost their lives serving their country, or was it, again, we have to think in times.
Right.
Was it just a snippet that so-and-so passed away serving his country?
Some of them were just snippets. Some we haven't found any information on. But, for example, Donald Steiner, when he passed away, I found his story, and it was on the front page of the Tribune back at that time. And so it was a bigger story for the county.
Can you figure out what the reasons may or may not have been of why one was a bigger story or anything along those lines?
No, I don't.
No consistency.
No consistency. And like I said, on some of them, we haven't been able to find any information. Now, part of that, it's like Donald Smith. There are a lot of Donald Smiths. So we haven't found any information on what branch he was in, how he died. We just know he was on the plaque. And so we're still looking for information on him.
Well, luckily, though, you were able to come up with the 12 names. And then the memorial itself that's going to be, where are we with that now?
So they've already broken ground. Paso Public Schools have been great about that. They are fronting the cost for it. We are looking for donations because this is, I think, important to our community to have this. But they've already started the work on it. So they broke ground already. They are putting the foundation in. And as we collect money, we'll be able to do the plaques. We're hoping to have the seals of the different branches that they serve in up there. And just a big reminder about how we really do rely on our armed forces and those members to help keep us free.
Indeed. And people can help out, obviously, by donating. And how can they do that?
So they can donate straight to Paso Public Schools or Paso Robles Joint Unified School District. They can bring a check or send a check there. We will be, once we get things going, we'll be selling bricks, so they can have veterans' names put onto bricks, whether they served in Iraq or Korea or wherever.
Oh, just like they have down at the Veterans Memorial in Atascadero.
Correct. So we're going to be doing that as a fundraiser as well. So that will open up to any veteran in Paso Robles or who has family here in Paso Robles. But if they just want to donate, they can always just donate.
Now, regarding the bricks, will there be a limit? Because there's going to be limited space because of, you know, the field and the memorial itself and so forth.
Yeah. So right now, just with the space, it would be limited to the space of the memorial. If at some point down the line we wanted to increase that would be up to our, you know, the school district.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it would just be limited to the memorial area.
Any idea of, you know, from the engineers or whoever that's saying, hey, you can get in 200 bricks here or anything along those
that
lines?
That I don't know. I don't have that information.
All right. Well, it's a, you know, again, these things are, when you go and look at them or visit them, there is emotions that go through when you look at the names. And again, we go back to, my gosh, these kids were 18, 20 years old and so forth. And then, you know, with the bricks, hopefully, you look down and say, man, I know that name. I know of the last name. And my gosh, they served in Vietnam. They served in Iraq, et cetera, et cetera. It's a great connection.
Yeah, I think it's a great connection too. Again, we want to do this for community. Paso Robles is a great historical little town, and we've had a lot of people serve, and we want to just make sure that we're dedicating this to not just the 12 who passed away in World War II. We're actually going to add the individuals who died in Vietnam and Korea as well. So their names are going to be up on the wall. And again, all those who serve, they can buy bricks and have their names there as well.
through social media, as you mentioned, you've been getting some more information, but then you can never get enough.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I just want more information. It's just, it's fascinating for me, and I'm always finding something new. For example, last week, I was searching for one of the names, Lewis Partiquin, and I came across a picture of him. He served in a B-17 bomber that had flown over France and had received over 450 flak holes in it and was still able to get back to England and land. And there was a picture of this kid from Paso Robles and the King of England who was visiting the plane. And it just, it's fascinating to me that somebody from here was able to meet the King of England before he passed away.
Yeah, again, you just have to try and put these things in perspective. A kid from Paso being this far away from the King of England.
Right. And so it's just fascinating how much stuff I'm finding. There's, you know, England, there's a number of individuals in England who I've contacted, and because, you know, most of the bombers were there, and anybody who was in a bomber was somewhere in England at one point. So I've had a couple people send photographs of the planes that they were in. And so it's just been really interesting connecting with other people with this love of history.
Indeed, man. But I guess because, you know, we're talking 80 years now, that it's the time of getting, you know, more information, is that kind of like dwindling down, maybe running out a little bit?
Well, actually, it's been nice with the internet because more and more things are going into databases and things like that. The hard part is a lot of this with World War II, there was a huge fire at their facilities that housed all their pictures of, you know, when people were brought in, they'd take their pictures and things like that, their information, a lot of that burned in a fire after World War II. So it's actually harder to get things from our own government, but there's a lot of databases out there that different groups are putting together. And so we've been able to find more and more information from that. And then again, just searching on the internet, if you know names, if you know when they served, if you know when they died, there's a lot of times stories, or the brigades will put together information, or these guys will put together their memoirs and they'll have them in there.
I'm going to flip this back, you know, because, you know, you talk about the internet and the information, but on the same, in the same breath, are you somewhat amazed that the government, even, you know, again, going back 80 years, had as much information as they have?
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, they're bureaucracies, so they keep everything as long as they can. We found draft cards on some of these guys, and so you can see their signatures when they signed up for the draft. You can see what street they were living on in Paso. So it's great. It, for me, like, I nerd out on the history, so I have a lot of fun with that. And it's just, these are real, again, back to they are real human beings. You see, when you see somebody's handwriting, it makes it more real than if it's just something that's typed up.
When you said the addresses, have you been curious? And are some of those houses still around?
Some of the houses are still around.
They're all on the west side?
Yep, they're on, you know, a lot of them on Vine Street or right near Vine Street. So that's been really interesting. A couple of them were out in Adelaide and San Miguel. So those houses I haven't been able to go to, but I've dropped by a couple here in Paso, and they're still there.
Well, you know what? You mentioned the signature and how that brings it to life, too, but also going past a house and a yard and thinking, okay, so-and-so lived here, probably played a little ball in the front or backyard and stuff in this very house, again, brings it
right
to reality.
Brings it back to reality, and probably walked from there to the high school. And
which was at the let me see, it wasn't the Flamson was once the high school, but wasn't there one before that?
There was one before that, but that one burned down. And then so this high school started in 24, and so all these guys went through the high school that was at the 24th Street first burned with Flamson.
All right, we're going to take a break and talk with Gene Miller about the World War II Memorial out at War Memorial. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to Sound Off.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Junior, do you know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lucier, Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to slowcountyhearingaids.com.
This is Jordan Cunningham. When life throws you a curveball, you need advocates that will fight for you. Along with my wife, Shauna, Cunningham Law Group is a legal team that understands that legal battles are personal. Whether you're navigating a difficult divorce, fighting for time with your child, or facing criminal charges, we will fight for you. Cunningham Law Group, family law and criminal defense, experience with integrity. 805-369-2399 or cunninghamlawslo.com. Because when it matters most, we're on your side.
John Stafford Construction and Pest Control, locally owned and operated for over 20 years. Combination of construction, whether it's new construction, remodel, and concrete work, along with pest control, including termites and bird control, and more. Get it done the right way and on time. John Stafford Construction and Pest Control, the one call that does it all. Give John a call, 466-8667.
Welcome back to Sound Off on this Monday afternoon. Kevin Will in studio with our special guest, Gene Miller. He is the principal of Templeton Middle School, a graduate of Paso Robles High School, and he's very heavily involved with some others here locally on the committee to get this World War II Bearcat Memorial up there at the stadium. Is there a, you know, best you can with this, a timeline for everything to be done?
We are hoping to have everything ready to go by the first home game this year.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's kind of a tight timeline. But again, the district has been great at kind of putting up the bill right now, and then we'll use the donations to kind of pay them back. And so that's been great.
Big ceremony?
I'm hopeful for a big ceremony. Maybe we could get Astraea Warbirds to do a flyover. That kind of, I would love to have it just be a bigger deal than just, it's the first home game, and, oh, by the way, there's a new wall.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, if people can people see the picture of this memorial online?
Yeah, so we do have a group that we started just for this project on Facebook, so they can find us. It's Paso Robles War Memorial Project on Facebook. They can also find the link if they go to Facebook and go into You Know You Grew Up in Paso When. We post a lot in there, so it's available. They can always get a hold of me, too. My email's out there.
Can they do the same to help donate?
Yeah. So all the
other information, than directly to the high school, and also to make sure they mark it for, or does it matter?
Right. No, we do want them to mark it because any donations are going to go straight to this project, and so don't worry that your money's going to the district and is going to go towards something else. It is going towards this project. Like I've said, the district has been great about this. Brad Pulaski's been wonderful with this. He's carved out some funds just so we can get things moving quickly now that the board's approved it. The board, again, was really great about it as well. They all approved it and definitely want to move forward with this and have this rededication.
folks, you need to go online and just look at the memorial, because it's going to be, I don't know how many high schools around are going to have something like this.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic memorial to them. Right now, that sign is so small at the base of the flagpole. We're actually going to increase the size of the flagpole so we can put a bigger flag up on there. That was something that Tom Harrington really wanted. He wanted a big flag that would be able to fly at the games. And it's just going to be a great place to kind of go and just remember why we're able to go watch football.
Well, that, and also, as we wind down here, why don't we list the names of those who served former Bearcats and will be remembered and honored with this new memorial?
Yeah, that'd be great. So there's James Pearson, Robert Rogers, Donald Smith, James Farnell, Donald Steiner, Joseph Crittell, Benjamin Surrett, Louis Pettiquin, Raymond Doth, Abraham Van Horn, George Quintana, and Edward Johnson.
Now, of these, how many of the families that there's still some kind of linkage here? Obviously, we know about Ray Doth, and I'm guessing Surrett too.
Correct. And then Van Horn is one that still has family members in the area, and Crittell is also somebody with family members here.
Okay, and the other ones, you're just trying to...
The other ones, we're figuring out if there's anybody still in the area. If not, then we still want to know their stories. So even people outside of the area, if they have information on these guys, we want it. Because again, we're going to build a website so people can go see who these people were.
You have to hope and guess that with the, small town, that some of the names that are... you're having a little bit difficult time, that the more this gets out, that there's going to be some kind of connection.
Yes. And then, we do have great local resources as well. We've got the History Museum. We've got the information that's housed at the Old Carnegie Library. So Tom Harrington's going to be delving into that and just kind of trying to find as much as he possibly can. We're looking into old newspapers, wherever we can, we're trying to find the information.
Well, again, I can't help but believe that there was somebody, obviously 80 years ago, but that a friend or an aunt or an uncle, passed down the names and what happened to either their neighbor or, a cousin or something like that.
Right. Yeah. And so there's got to be people out there that know them. And as long as we remember them, they stay alive. Their memory stays alive. What they sacrificed for us stays alive.
Well, that's extremely important that we remember that. So, okay, Gene. So, hopefully by the first home game, we'll be ready to go with this. And it's the work on the committee, but also the people helping put this together it's not just four or five people. It's a pretty good sized group.
It's a huge sized group. The committee members are great. Again, the school district has been nothing but helpful, making sure this project gets moving now and making sure that we're going ahead with it and moving forward.
Would this be something that could be continuous as far as people wanting to donate? Obviously the bricks could be limited, but just to donate because there's going to be upkeep and so forth and so on.
Right. Yeah, the initial cost estimate for it is $110,000. So we really don't want that to take away from the kids' education. That's why we're really hoping to get as many private donors as possible. And then, you're right, there's going to be the upkeep and things like that, so they can keep donating and doing those types of things to help keep it updated. And then, as part of the committee, we also decided if there's any future wars, any of our Paso Bearcats pass away during those, we would honor them on that wall as well.
So keeping enough room... Hopefully we don't have to have any more names, though.
Right. It would be great if we never had to have a war again. But if any Bearcat serves and is killed in action, dies of wounds, dies during service, we want to be able to honor them for that conflict as well.
Well, thank you and your committee for what you have been doing and continue to do. And again, where can people donate and look up some more information?
They can look up information on Facebook, and they can donate straight to the district office. They can bring it over there if they want. They can send it in 800 Niblick Road in Paso Robles. Just make sure in the memo that you put it's for the War Memorial Project.
All right, Gene, thank you again so much for what you and the committee are doing. And thank you for being here. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. And thanks for helping us spread the word.
All right, folks, thanks for listening. And Susanna's coming up next following the news at the top of the hour. You're listening to KPRL. Have a good afternoon.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.